session now with Brother Dawood Adib on how to make dawah. Inshallah, after this session, we'll have the question and answers pertaining to the topic of how to make dawah. And then our brother Abu Muslim will speak concerning some matters dealing with Salat. Inshallah, our brother Dawood Adib.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh, wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل دلالة في النار وبعد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Once again, I apologize for two things: the hoarseness of my voice and because I've been doing a lot of screaming and hollering. Especially Friday, I did the khutbah on my subject was domestic violence, because some brothers have been beating their wives, so I was screaming at the top of my lungs. And this is it gets me kind of emotional, so please excuse my voice. And secondly, I apologize because I'm not that prepared, but inshallah, I will try to do the best that we can. The brother Fareed didn't come, so the subject for me today is how to make dawah, or dawah. That's what it says on this green sheet here. There's a lot that could be said about this issue of a da'wah, but I think what we're going to try to do, and for those who are familiar with my style of speaking and lecturing and classes or whatever, you know that I'm kind of unorthodox. I'm kind of like a real, very unorthodox person in my approach. So I think what we're going to try to do for these next remaining minutes is not just talk about how to make da'wah, but how not to make da'wah. How not to make dawah. Because there are a lot of people that have embarked on the road, on the avenue of ad-dawah, and rightfully so, because we should give it dawah, because Allah tabaraka ta'ala has ordered us to give dawah when He says in His book, Udu'u ila sabili rabbik, call or give dawah, you Muslims, to the way of your Lord. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His book. So those people who are giving dawah, they are fulfilling one portion of that commandment. But unfortunately, there are some other issues to that commandment that we're falling short, at least in, or at most, we may be committing a sin. I say it again. We may be committing a sin. And that is how we make the dawah, or how we should not be making the dawah. There's at least two or three verses in the Quran that come to my mind. One of them, where Allah tabaraka ta'ala gives us in this one ayah, as explained by the scholars of Islam, all of the basic principles on how to give a dawah. Unfortunately, I don't have a copy of the Quran in front of me, and unfortunately also I'm not a hafiz of Quran. So if any hafiz of Quran or hafiza, any sisters here who are hafiz of Quran, you can write the note and bring it over to correct me. Or any brothers here, you can correct me on the spot, inshallah, with your tongue. There's an ayah, I believe it's in Surah Yusuf, alayhi salatu salam, that Allah tabaraka ta'ala orders the Prophet by saying, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Allah has commanded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically and us in general, say, "I call to this is my way, I call to Allah with basira. I call to Allah with basira. In actuality, alhamdulillah, Allah, you better speak. The brother brought me a mushaf. Actually, I wanted the English translation. That's what I wanted. But inshallah, no problem. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي. Say, I call, this is my way, I call to Allah. Say, O Muhammad, this is my sabil. This is my way. When we go back to the tafsir of Quran, Allah, you better speak. When we go back to the tafsir of Quran, we find the scholars of Islam, and the brother has just given me an English translation. It's the next to the last ayah in Surah Yusuf, the 110th, I believe. No. The 108th, excuse me. The 108th ayah. When you go back to the tafsir of Quran, or the different tafsir of Quran, we find that the ulama, the mufassirun, they say that this word sabil, of which Muhammad Muhsin Khan, hafizahullah, wajazahullahu kulli khayr wa ahsan al-jaza, may Allah reward him, and Taqiyuddin Hilali, may Allah have mercy on him, rahimahullah, they translate this as, say you, O Muhammad, this is my way. When we go back to the tafsir, the explanation of this word sabil or way, the scholars of tafsir says it means tariqah. Tariqah. Or minhaj, or innahaj, or sunnah. Sunnah meaning tariqah. In other words, this is my methodology. Here Allah is explaining to us in the most eloquent of terms, the most eloquent of terms, in this particular ayah, how we make the da'wah, to whom we give the da'wah. What do we say when we give the da'wah? All of that is combined in this one ayah. One small verse. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي. Say, this is my tariqah. This is my minhaj. This is my methodology. This is my mode of operation. This is my moray. This is my way. Now the first thing that the Muslim should do when they hear this is try to find out, what is the way? What is the way? Because one of the big differences between us and the other people, the people who are destined for the hellfire, and may Allah keep us far away from that, I mean, one of the big, big differences between us and them is that we want to know how to worship Allah. And they worship Allah, tabaraka ta'ala, with their lusts and their desires and their opinions. We worship Allah, tabaraka ta'ala, by what He reveals. So when Allah says, say, in the English translation that is, this is my way, every Muslim who hears my voice right now, and you're hearing my voice, but the words of Allah, every Muslim who hears this ayah should be breaking their Islamic necks to find out, what is that way? How do we give the da'wah? To whom do we give it to? Now, in this century that we're living in, unfortunately, this is one of the first times in Islamic history that there are three types of people that we have to give da'wah to. It has happened in the past, but now it's even more prolific. It's more prevalent. There used to be a time where the only groups of people that were given da'wah were two. Al-Kafirun, or Mushrikun, and Ahl Kitab. That's it. The Jews, the Christians, and the Mushrikun, the pagans, the idol worshippers, those people. And by saying this, we're not excluding the Ahl Kitab from being Mushrikun. They're Mushrikun also, but they're a specific type of Mushrikun mentioned in the Quran, as we already know. So there were only two types of groups that were given da'wah. The Muslims were either giving da'wah to A, the Jews and the Christians as a group of people, or B, the Mushrikun. Now, because the Muslims have gone so far away from the sabil, the way, the road, the tariqah, now there's a third group that we have to give da'wah to. We have to give da'wah to Muslims. To Muslims. But the difference between the da'wah to the non-Muslims and the Muslims, there's a big difference. let alone the fact, or not to speak of the fact, that it's still da'wah, but there is a big difference. And we'll come to that, and if you can remind me, inshallah, we'll talk about it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this ayah, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. I call to Allah. What does this mean, I call to Allah? Does it mean I look up into the sky when I'm about to get da'wah, and I say, hey Allah! Does it mean that? I call to Allah? No, it means I call to an economic program, right? Or I call to a political regime, right? Or maybe I call to the establishment of a khilafah. We have to have a khalifa. We have to have a khalifa. Is that what I call to? Or I call to nationalism, or Afrocentrism, or Pakistani centrism, or Indian centrism, or Arab centrism. Is that what I call to? La. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Meaning, I call to الْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةِ, the good word. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That's it. Nothing else. This is the only thing we should be calling the people to. That's it. We shouldn't be calling them to why we don't eat pork. We shouldn't be calling them to why the women wear hijab. We shouldn't be calling them to talking about Saddam Hussein. We shouldn't be calling them to anything that has to do with anything. But La ilaha illallah. That's it. Nothing else. Because there's nothing else more important. Because when those two angels, Munkar and Nakir, interrogate and question every human being in the grave, they're not going to ask you what is your madhab, as some Muslims who follow madhabs lie on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, making up hadith and say that the angels are going to ask you who is your imam and what is your madhab. This is a lie on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The angels are not going to ask you what kunta kinte, your ancestor. The angels are not going to ask you were you Democrat or Republican. The angels are not going to ask you any of these questions that are irrelevant. They're going to ask you questions that are three, and they come from a tawheed. Man rabbuka, who is your Lord? Ma deenuka, what is your deen? Man nabiyuka, who is your prophet? These three issues, and only three issues, are going to be questioned. We're going to be questioned by the angels. And they stem from, the origin of them is La ilaha illallah. So when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, Ad'u ila Allah, Ad'u ila Allah, we should be calling the people to that which will save them from that punishment and allow them to be able to say, Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah. Deen al-Islam, my deen is Islam. Muhammad Nabiyyi or Nabiyyi Muhammad, Muhammad is my prophet. This is what we should be calling them to. Because if that person walks away from you and you talk for 25, 30, 40, 50 minutes about Farrakhan and they get hit by a cookie truck and die, they're going to hell and you may be partly responsible. Because you didn't call to Allah. You did not call to Allah. So this is a commandment. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. With what? عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. I call to Allah with basira. What does the scholar say is basira? Basira is al-burhan wa dalil. I call to Allah with proofs and evidences. I don't say anything other than what Allah said. When I call the people to Islam, when I call them to Iman, when I call them to Ihsan, when I call them to Tawheed, I don't call them to anything except what? La ilaha illallah with proofs and evidences. As Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah said, Al-ilmu qala Allahu wa qala rasuluhu wa qala sahabatuhu. Knowledge, which here we say is evidences, is Allah said, the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Sahaba said. This is dalil. Dalil is not my imam said, or my sheikh said, or my mawla said, or mawlana said. This is not dalil and burhan. This is not proofs and evidences. Proofs and evidences are only that which Allah Ta'ala said and His Prophet said on the understanding, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the understanding and the practical application and implementation of the Sahaba and those generations that succeeded him, the second and third generations. So Basira is firstly proofs and evidences. And this Basira has three aspects. Three aspects, brothers and sisters. This Basira, of which Muhsin Khan translates as sure knowledge, is three aspects. Number one, Ad-Da'i, the person who's giving the da'wah. Basira means A. Ad-Da'i, or number one, Ad-Da'i, the person who's giving the da'wah. Number two, Al-Mad'u'u ilayhi, the person whom the da'wah is given to. Who is how many people? Three. Jews, Christians, Mushrikun, and Muslims. Remember? Three people. Three types of people. And thalith, or third, is al-kayfiyatu dawa. Or kayfiyatu dawa. Is how we give the dawa. Firstly, the person who is a da'i, he or she has to have ilm. You have to have knowledge. Which tells us now on one of the things that are in contradiction or opposition to giving da'wah. Remember we said we were going to talk about how you should not make da'wah? It is not permissible, brothers and sisters, and when I say not permissible, I mean it's haram. That's what I mean. It's haram for the Muslim who doesn't understand the basic fundamentals of a tawheed. And I don't mean he has to know the details of Tawheed, just the basic fundamentals of a Tawheed, to go out in an organized fashion, 40 days in the past, or whatever, and invite people to La ilaha illallah. It's haram. It is haram. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. In this verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the things that are haram, major sins. And the last thing he mentioned, that you say about Allah that which you don't know. That you say about Allah that which you don't know. You send a person out to invite people to La ilaha illallah, and they themselves don't even know what an ilah is. La ilaha illallah. You ask them, what is an ilah? I don't know. My sheikh just sent me out to do those da'wah. I'm just inviting the people to Islam. You don't even know what an ilah is. You could be inviting him to another ilah instead of Allah. So we have to have ilm. As Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, said, al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wal-amal. That knowledge precedes statements and action. So before the person gives this da'wah, he or she has to have some basic, they don't have to be an alim, some basic fundamentals of that knowledge of Islam. And then they should only tell the people that which they know, and that which they know is correct. They shouldn't go beyond their scope of knowledge. They should only introduce the people to that which they know of La ilaha illallah, and they have learned it well, and shouldn't go beyond that. And there's a lot we could talk about this. The second aspect is the person that you're calling to. We should have some knowledge of the person whom we're calling to Islam. Now, that doesn't mean that if you meet somebody on the bus stop, or in college, or at your job, you have to wait 3 or 4 weeks to do a background check on them to find out, you know, their aptitude or their acumen in this life. No. What we mean is, you should ask them a few questions. You know, like, what religion are you? What religion are you? For instance, I made a mistake one time. I was performing a wedding. So I took the opportunity, the sister who was getting married and her husband, they were black Americans. I took the opportunity to give some dawah to her family members who were non-Muslims at the time. So because she was a black American and her husband was a black American and their families were there, I assumed that they were Christians. I assumed, in my mistake, that they, her family, were Christians. And after I finished this 10 or 15 minutes of da'wah to them, she came up to me, remember, black American, She came up to me and said, Brother Dawood, alhamdulillah, it was a nice talk, but my family are Jews. I grew up in a yeshiva. My family are all Jews. My father's a rabbi. You see? So we should have some knowledge of whom we're talking to. All Christians don't believe that Jesus was crucified on a cross. They don't. Some believe that he was crucified on a tree. Did you know that? Jehovah's Witnesses. Right? All Christians don't believe in Jannah and Nar after this life. They all don't believe that. You see? Some Christians believe that having more than one wife is wajib on them. They can't go to Jannah unless they have more than one wife. Christians. Who are they? The Mormons. So we have to have some type of knowledge of the Maz'u, ilayhi, the person whom we're giving the da'wah to. We have to have some knowledge because all people are not the same. Some people are more intellectual than others. Some people have a bit higher education than others. You don't want to insult someone who may be a PhD, which doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be intelligent, right? But relatively speaking, you don't want to use street language, for instance, you see, which comes to the third aspect of how should you do the da'wah. You don't want to insult them by using language that's beneath them. At the same time, if a person is on a lower level, you don't want to use words that's above their heads. You see, that they don't understand. So we should have some basic information about the people of whom we are giving the da'wah. Know something about them. You see? And thirdly, on this basira, on this keen knowledge, or sure knowledge, as Muhsin Khan translates it, the kayfiyatu da'wah. How do we give the da'wah? Or how do we not give the da'wah? Let me just cite some mistakes that came to my mind coming here to just do this talk a few moments ago. Let me give you some mistakes on how people give da'wah. This is a real big mistake. I've been running into this quite frequently now in the past year. Many Muslims invite the kuffar to lectures that Muslims have for themselves, not thinking that there might be something said that will run them out of the door, literally. Just invite them. No, you should set up some type of specific lecture for the non-Muslim. Don't invite non-Muslims to a lecture on Muslims fighting in Bosnia, and we're going to be talking about killing the kuffar. Then they lean to the person who brought them, who's the kuffar? And he says, you. What? You talking about killing me? It's over. I don't want to hear what you have to say. This is a big, huge mistake by Muslims. Inviting the non-Muslims to any type of lecture. There was a sister, I was in Houston, Texas, just 3 weeks ago by the permission of Allah with Hakeem Olajuwon to do some da'wah. And there, I'm saying she was a sister now, because I gave her shahada, alhamdulillah. She was sitting in the back of the room, Chinese girl, and her English wasn't that good. The speech that I was delivering was only to the sisters. And specifically, they were talking about their husbands abusing them. And she walked in. Somebody invited her. This is a big mistake. This is a huge mistake. So I had to, and I couldn't tell the sisters in front of her, you know, don't talk about this. And you know, I had to figure out a way to invite her to invite her to Islam and still present the message to the sisters. So what I did was, I said, sister, the sister who had a question, is it possible that you could just forego that? And because it seems as though, that the young lady sitting in the back is a non-Muslim, which is difficult nowadays also, as I've mentioned, there used to be a time we only gave da'wah to the kuffar, but now we have to give da'wah to the Muslims. I don't know who's a Muslim or not now. So I assumed that she was a non-Muslim because she was uncovered, but unfortunately there were some other Muslim women who were there were uncovered. But it's just her mannerisms. I said, it seems as though we have a non-Muslim present. Sister, can you please forego your question so I can talk to her about a few things? She said, okay. And so I talked to her about the most important thing, which is what we said earlier, La ilaha illallah, and alhamdulillah, she took shahada. So this is a big, big mistake, brothers. Sisters, this is a huge mistake to invite a non-Muslim to any type of Muslim function. Big mistake. Another mistake that Muslims are making in giving da'wah is this Muslim, Jewish, Christian dialogue of the celestial religions. This is how they put it. You know, it really gets to your heart, you know. Celestial religions. What in the hell is a celestial religion? No, I have to say it. Really, I'm saying it like this. What in the hell is a celestial religion? What is this? The Abrahamic faith. Abraham's religion wasn't Judaism. Abraham's religion wasn't Christianity. Subhanallah. What do you mean, Abrahamic faith? Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, was Hanif and Musliman. He was a Muslim, upright man. How can we get with Jews and Christians and let's share our similarities? Share our similarities. We're not that much different from you. You're right. The Muslims who are not on the Sunnah are not that much different from them. But the Muslims who are on the Sunnah are ghuraba, strangers. Fatuba lil ghuraba. And may the strangers have Jannah. Ameen. Inviting the Christians and the Jews to sit down and have a dialogue? Where do we find this in the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And when I say the Sunnah of Muhammad is also the Sunnah of al-Khulafa'u al-Rashidun. There's no two Sunnahs, brothers and sisters. This is a big mistake among the Muslims. The Prophet said, Addu alayhi bin nawajiz. Hold on to it. He didn't say, Addu alayhima. Hold on to the two of them. He said, hold on to the Sunnah. That means the Sunnah of the Prophet and the Sunnah of the Sahaba. Where do we find it in the Sunnah that Abu Bakr, As-Siddiq, and Umar ibn al-Khattab, Al-Faruq, and Uthman, Dhul-Nurayn, and Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, where do we find them sitting down having a dialogue? No. I'm right, you're wrong. Accept Islam and you'll be saved. That was it. Which brings me to a side point to this. The alteration, transformation, distortion, and outright lies on the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idatil hasana. Call to the way of your Lord, which is translated with wisdom and beautiful preaching. People are distorting and sometimes even lying, saying that wisdom means you can't tell them that they're going to go to hell. You can't tell them that. Don't tell them, don't tell the non-Muslims, don't tell the non-Muslims, kuffar. No, don't call them kuffar, call them non-Muslims. And you can't tell them they're going to hell. Why not? This is what Allah says in His Quran. Allah says that they're going to go to hell. So we must tell them the wisdom in the ma'rifat al-hasana. The wisdom is using the verses of Quran and the authentic sunnah. And the ma'rifat al-hasana, the beautiful preaching or handsome admonition, is telling them that they'll get Jannah if they accept Islam, and tell them about the felicities of Jannah, and if they don't accept Islam, they're going to hell. That's it. That's the handsome exhortation. Nothing else. You see? You can't do that in a Muslim, Christian, Jewish dialogue. You can't do that. Because your only intention to be there is to share. And you know what happens when you share? Because there's only two types of da'wah in this life. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about those brothers when they try to marry those mushrik women, jumping over the Muslim woman like a kangaroo going to some woman who believes that Jesus is the son of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ بِإِذْنِهِ. They call you to the hellfire. That's the first type of da'wah. And Allah calls you to His Jannah and His forgiveness by His permission. That's the second type of da'wah. There's only two types of da'wah. What type of da'wah do you think you're going to hear by sharing your similarities with a Jew and a Christian in a dialogue? You don't think you're going to be affected when they start talking about God is love? It's going to get to your heart. No. You tell them, Aslam, Taslam. Aslam, Taslam. That's it. You accept Islam and you'll be saved. You'll have salvation. You really want to be sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit? Accept this deen. That's it. Brothers and sisters, this is a huge mistake that we're making in these trialogues and these dialogues and these quadrilogues and these whatever they are. Big mistakes. No, it's a da'wah, not dialogue. Another mistake in the kayfiyah to da'wah is using music and rap songs. Calling to Allah. Allah, come to Allah. Subhanallah. Is this the methodology of the people of the past? Is this the sabil, the tariqah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the sahaba? La ilaha illallah. And people are actually believing. Oh, five people accepted Islam. Five young guys from the gang, the Crips, accepted Islam when I made that rap song. You think you're going to get a reward for that? You think you're going to get a reward with that just because they accepted Islam? I don't think so. Because a righteous deed in Islam has two components. A pure niyyah, number one, and number two, it has to be in conformity with the Quran, the authentic sunnah. So brothers and sisters in Islam, when we call the people to Islam, we have to remember this basira. The da'i, the person giving the da'wah, has to have some knowledge. Number two, we have to have some knowledge of the person whom we're giving the da'wah to. Number three, we have to use the methodology of da'wah that the people of the past used. We have to use the methodology that the people of the past used. Don't introduce anything into this deen in terms of giving da'wah that wasn't used before. We must stick to the methodology al-amr al-awwal. We must stick to the original state of affairs, which is how the companions understood it and practiced it. There's some other points. We don't have a lot of time. One of them, inshallah, I've just been informed that our brother in Islam, Allah Yashfihi, Abu Muslim, is not feeling well. So they're telling me to please complete the session. So I guess I'm stuck again. Alhamdulillah. La bas tahuran, inshallah. May Allah heal him. Ameen. Another mistake in giving this da'wah, brothers and sisters in Islam, is being harsh. And you might say that sounds like a contradiction. First you're saying, tell them they're going to hell. And then now you're saying, be kind and gentle. No. No. I mean by our statements should be soft. We shouldn't raise our voices. We should be respectful. For instance, after you've already told them about Jannah, you say, look, what's your name again? Bob? Bob. Listen, Bob. Real nice voice. I've already told you about the bounties and the felicities of paradise. Now let me give you an example of what's going to happen in the hellfire. Can you imagine someone's skin being burned completely off their bodies and then being replaced and then burned and then being replaced and then, you know, very kind and gentle. You see? You don't have to raise your voice. Because if somebody has any sense whatsoever, and they haven't lost their fitrah, and they hear about some skin being burned off, believe me, you don't have to raise your voice. You see? So, but we should be not rude with the people. We should be respectful and kind with them. We should not abuse their gods. I remember when I was a heathen, a pagan, mushrik, following that big pagan mushrik, Elijah Muhammad, La'natullahi ala al-kafirin. May Allah curse the kuffar. Ameen. And now somebody will take this tape and say that Dawood Adib said, may Allah curse Elijah Muhammad. Specifically. I didn't say that. I said, may Allah curse the kuffar. Alright? Or they may just bleep that part out that I just said that they would say it and then say it. I know how some Muslims are. I'm telling you. I know how they are. I'm one of them. I remember when I was a pagan mushrik following Elijah Muhammad, he used to instruct us to say things like, you believe in that blue-eyed, blonde-haired, pale-faced hippie on the cross? This is what we used to say about the picture of Jesus to the white people. You believe, or to the black people, you believe in that blue-eyed, blonde-haired, pale-faced hippie on the cross, Jesus? This is not the way to give da'wah, brothers and sisters. You can't abuse the gods that they believe in or they worship. Those things that they worship, those idols, among the clay, among the dates, among the steel, the wood, the iron, or the human flesh that they worship, you just can't abuse them. Allah mentions this in the Quran. Don't abuse those things in which they call on besides Allah. Why? Human nature, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the next part of the verse, Human nature tells us that because they will do the same thing to Allah بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, without knowledge. See, if you talk about my mama, for those brothers who are from India and Pakistan, and Arab brothers, if you talk about my mother, then I'm going to talk about your mother. Your mother wears combat boots. We used to say this, you know, back in the day. Your mother wears combat boots. Well, your mother smokes cigars. You see? If you talk about the, if you abuse the gods that the kuffar worship, then they'll start talking about Allah in a bad light. You see? So Allah, subhanAllah, Allah gives us the exact methodology on how to give this da'wah. You see? Don't abuse their gods. Be very respectful. But at the same time, explain to them that what they are worshiping is baal. It's false. Reason with me, young man. Please. Look, I'm trying to explain to you. You actually believe that the one who gave birth to Jesus was created by Jesus? You actually believe that? Come on. You know, maybe even take their hand. Hold their hand if you can. You know, you shaking their hand, hold their hand. Come on now, really. Let's come to some common terms. You actually believe that Jesus came out of the womb of the one he created? Think about that. You see? We don't have to abuse what they believe in. So we should try to learn these things, brothers and sisters. And this will benefit us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِمَّنْ قَوْلْ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلْ مِمَّنْ يَدْعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Right. Allah yubarak fikum. Who is better? وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is better than the one who is more handsome, more beautiful, than one who says that I call to Allah and I am of the Muslims? The scholars of Islam, they say that this statement, إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, that I am of the Muslims, doesn't have to do with tafakhur, of boasting. They say that this statement, I am of the Muslimin, it's a tushiru ila luzum al-i'tizaz al-muslim bi-islamihi. This is what it means. It means that you are proud to be a Muslim, not that you yourself are arrogant or proud. No, that you are proud to demonstrate and make prevalent your Islam. It's not you. It's not you that you're talking about. You're talking about your Islam, and I am of those who are Muslims. You see? Do you understand what I'm saying? You're not bragging about yourself. You're trying to be very prolific and prevalent in your promotion of Islam. That's why the scholars of Islam say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. By that part of the statement, who is better than one? Who is more handsome than the one who calls to Allah and he says, I am a Muslim? You see? It's not in a boastful way. It's just that we're trying to explain to the people that this is the best way of life. So Allah attaches it, and I am of the Muslims. This is very beautiful. You see? So if we are planning on giving da'wah, which is a duty on all of us, we should remember some of these principles. And last but not least, we should practice what we preach. For those brothers and sisters who want to be an alim, there's a very beautiful statement, if I can remember it, by Abu Darda رضي الله عنه. He said, إنك لن تكون عالما حتى تكون متعلما ولن تكون متعلما حتى تكون علمت عاملا. He said that you will never become a scholar until you become a student. And you will never become a student until you practice what you've learned. Until you practice bima alimta amilan. Until you practice that which you've learned. So for us to be good du'at to Allah, to la ilaha illallah, be good preachers to Islam, we have to practice what we know. How can you expect a Muslim, excuse me, a kafir, a non-Muslim, to get the benefit of what you have to say when you're talking to them with a cigarette in your hand? How can you? How can you expect them to understand and get the sweetness of this message when you have a can of beer in your hand? Or you sell beer. The person comes into the store, you have Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Or some of you may have 786 written over your pork chop counter. Or your refrigerator with pork chops in it. Or chitlins. Or your beer counter. Right over the refrigerator, where you have your beer and your wine, you have Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The person comes in, they see, they ask you, what does that mean? You say that means in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Are you a Muslim? Yes. And you wipe your beardless face. Yes. Yes, I'm a Muslim. I'm happy. Alhamdulillah. But I thought that Muslims don't smoke. And I thought that Muslims don't eat pork. And I thought that Muslims don't drink alcohol. Why do you do this? Now you're stuck. Because you don't practice what you preach. You see? So we have to implement that which we know. Even if it's one ayah, it doesn't make any difference. Even if we have one ayah, practice that ayah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase us in the ability to practice all that which we've learned from all the ayahs that we memorized and all the hadiths we memorized. Don't drink with the left hand, akhi. Drink with the left hand is haram. Inshallah. Don't everybody look around either. Don't everybody look around. He knows what I'm talking about. Inshallah. So with that, inshallah ta'ala, anything that I've said that is correct is from Allah. Anything that I've said that is incorrect is from a shaitan or myself. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people who call to Allah and only to Allah. Call to Allah and only to Allah. Because we're living in a time where, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, that in this time, إِنَّكُمْ فِي زَمَانٍ كَثِيرٌ فُقَهَاؤُهَا or فُقَهَاؤُهُ. He said, we're living in a time, talking to the companions, where the scholars are many. قَلِيلٌ خُطَبَاؤُهُ. But they're little, small in number, in preachers. Small in number in preachers. وَقَلِيلٌ مُعْتُوهُ. And small in those who give. Small in those who give. Like in charity and do good deeds of sadaqah. Right? وَالْعَمَلُ. This is the time that Abu Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is talking about to his people. وَالْعَمَلُ قَائِدٌ لِلْهَوَى. And actions, and I like to translate it, are the steering wheel. The steering wheel for the desires and lusts. In other words, that's the leader. That's the thing that controls the lust in the time of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He said, وَسَيَتِّي مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. But after your time, after these illustrious people, the first and second and third generations, listen to what we're going to have. He said, we'll have a time when there'll be كَثِيرٌ خُطَبَاؤُهُ. That the preachers, the speakers, the lecturers, the da'is will be many. قَلِيلٌ فُقَهَاؤُهُ. And the scholars will be little. وَقَلِيلٌ مُعْتُوهُ. And those who give will be small. وَالْهَوَى قَائِدٌ لِلْعَمَلِ. And the actions will be the thing, the desires will be the thing that directs the actions. The desires will be the steering wheel that directs the actions. And Ali radiallahu anhu, in conclusion, he said, to let us know how important this da'wah is and how short this time is in this dunya and how much we spend thinking about the dunya instead of inviting people to Islam. Ali radiallahu anhu said in authentic athar, إِرْتَحَلَتِ الدُّنْيَا مُقْبِلَةً مُدْبِرَةً وَارْتَحَلَتِ الْآخِرَةِ مُقْبِلَةً ولكل واحدة منهما بنون فكونوا أبناء الآخرة ولا تكونوا أبناء الدنيا فإن اليوم عمل ولا حساب وغدا حساب ولا عمل. He said that the dunya is going backwards, it's retreating. And the Akhirah is coming closer to us. And both of them have children.
Be you, O Muslims, children of the next life, and don't be children of this life, because today there's actions without account, and tomorrow there's account without actions. This is the state of affairs for us. This is the way we should be thinking. We should be children of the Akhirah, brothers and sisters, and not children of the dunya. We should give this da'wah to La ilaha illallah because we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Jannah to the young brother who died yesterday. When he came here yesterday, he didn't think he was going to die. His family didn't think he was going to die. Time is short. We should not expect to say As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah to the left in our salah. I know a brother who said As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah in his salah to the right, and he had a heart attack. Didn't get a chance to say it to the left. Died. Right. Spend every effort that we can calling the people to La ilaha illallah. Every effort that we can. Take every single opportunity to call the people to this kalimatul tayyibah, La ilaha illallah. So with that, inshallah, if you have any questions, inshallah, we will take them. And if not, inshallah ta'ala, we'll end it here. Subhanakallah wa hamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Brother Dawood, in the narration that you gave about the, you mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, you mentioned about not, let me get in my mind. You mentioned about the people, there being a few people giving. Was that, I just want to make sure I heard it right. That was in the time of the
the time and the companions and the tabi'un, there will be a lot of people who give. In our time, it will be qaleel, it will be a small amount.
Because I believe you said it was a few people in the first part.
Okay, we made a mistake. I meant in their time, the more people give, and in our time, it will be less.
Allah yubarak fiik. Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhta'na.
Is that it? We can go now? No questions? Alhamdulillah.
That's it.
Oh, sisters?
I think that's it.
Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. Is it permissible to discuss Christians, their book, with them to point out misconceptions and mistakes, etc.? Also, I recently became aware of a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu reading the Torah, and he became angry with Umar. Jazakumullah khaira for this excellent talk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows if it's excellent or not, but I appreciate it.
It's permissible to talk to the Christians about their book, and it's not permissible. See, one of the problems, once again, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, there will come a time after their time, كَثِيرٌ خُطَبَاؤُهُ, that the speakers and lecturers will be a lot. وَقَلِيلٌ فُقَهَاؤُهُ, and the scholars will be little. What has happened today is that the Muslims have left, though we claim that we're following the Quran and Sunnah, though we claim that we're of Ad-Dawah Salafiyyah, we don't memorize the Quran. We don't memorize the Quran. We have abandoned the Quran Mahjura. We have made hijrah from the Quran. We claim we're of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We claim that we have Quran and Sunnah, but we don't memorize the Quran. If we memorize the Quran, or at least Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, and Surah Al-Ma'idah, the second, third, and fifth chapters, or at least from that least, those ayats that are talking about the Jews and the Christians, and how to talk to them about Islam and the Tawheed, we would never, ever, ever have to use the Bible. Never. I'm absolutely sure. Because the Quran is sufficient as a proof. The Quran is sufficient. You don't have to go to the Old Testament or the New Testament or any of these other books. You just memorize those key verses in Surah Al-Baqarah and get the tafsir of them. Get the understanding of them. And those key verses in the third chapter, Surah Al-Imran, and Surah Al-Ma'idah, Believe me, wallahi, believe me, you'll never have to touch the Bible or open it up. But because we don't have this knowledge, people revert or refer to the Bible. Now, that brings us to the second thing. Is it permissible? It's permissible for those people who have real knowledge. Those people who have real knowledge of Islam, of the Aqidah of Islam, of the tafsir of the verses of Quran, it's permissible for them to not use as a proof verses of the Bible, not using them as a proof, but just to show the inconsistencies and the contradictions of the Tawheed of Allah. But to outright, in general, to use the Bible, when Allah Ta'ala says, فَوَيْلُ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابِ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, woe to them, destruction to them, death be them, curses be on them, who write the book with their hands and then they say this is from Allah. How can you use a book to invite people to Islam, going all over the world, having dialogues with Mr. Swagger and whoever, inviting people to Islam using the Bible? In fact, if you think about it, that methodology is not inviting people to Islam. If you think about it, that's just a debate. When you debate Christians, you're not inviting them to Islam. No, that's just a debate. No, we want to invite them. And you can't invite people to Islam with a book that has no light and no guidance. So it's better for us to utilize what Allah revealed in the Quran, to utilize those ayat of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, like Ya Ahl al-Kitab, Ta'alaw ila kalimatin sawa', O people of the book, come to a common agreement between you and us. Bainana wa bainakum, between you and I, let's come to a common agreement. What is that common agreement? We both believe Jesus was born in the Immaculate Conception? No! We believe that there's one creator. He's alone, he has no partners. His nature is totally different from the nature of the created thing. Do you agree, Mr. Johnson? Mrs. Jones, do you agree that the creator of the heavens and the earth is alone, he has no partners? His nature is different from our nature, or the nature of the moon, or the mountains, or the trees. Do you agree with that? Yes, I agree. Then you move on to the next topic about Allah. Then you move on to the next topic, Rububiyyah. Then you move on to the next topic, that he is the only one to be worshipped. You don't ever have to touch the Bible. You see? And that he has the most beautiful names and attributes. After that, you say, are you ready? Are you ready? Just repeat after me. I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship. Oh, wait. You see? But what about this? What? No, don't talk about that. When you're giving the people the da'wah, you keep the steering wheel in your hand and you put them in the passenger seat. Don't ever give the kuffar, when you give them da'wah, the steering wheel. Because they're going to steer you right into the hellfire. How can an astray person with an astray book lead you? So don't use the Bible if you can. Get some knowledge. Memorize the Quran. Sit with the people of knowledge. Learn the tafsir of those verses, the meaning of those, the real detailed meaning of those verses, and use the verse of the Quran and just keep repeating them. Stick to the script. Stick to the script. Whatever the script says, that's what you say. You don't have to paraphrase. Say exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. When something comes to you, quote the verse. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. You see? And we'll be, this is the best way to do it. Wallahi, this is the best way to do it. No.
Okay, I have a suggestion rather than a question. There's a source of people who want to know about Islam, and unfortunately are seeking knowledge of Islam from the wrong sources. And I'm speaking about in the colleges and universities here in America, there's philosophy classes and introduction classes, not to Islam specifically, but the like introduction to world religions and things like this. And unfortunately in their textbooks, they're being led far astray from what Islam is. And my suggestion is that brothers who are interested in giving da'wah to people who inshallah, are generally attentive to hearing about Islam, that they go to these classes not as a part of the program, but on their own, inshallah, and talk to the people either after the class or whatever way they can, inshallah, talk to these people. because like I said, they're getting their information completely wrong. You can look at the textbook and see that they're being misled about Islam, but they are, on the most part, generally sincere, and they want to learn about Islam. JazakAllah khair.
Ameen wa yakum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa maghfiratuh.
I apologize, I wasn't, for the first part of your speech, I wasn't here, I was out, so I don't know if you talked about it or not. It's allowed for Islamic Center to accept donations from, to build masjid from Jews and Christians.
I think this question that the brother asked for those who couldn't hear, is it allowed for the Islamic centers and masjids to accept donations from the Jews or the Christians? I think that this question should be directed to Sheikh Sadlan or Safwat Nuruddin, who's present, alhamdulillah, or Sheikh Ali Hassan Al-Halabi, or somebody like this. Inshallah.
JazakAllah.
Ameen wa iyakum. There's one question here. If you go to a Muslim's home and they have a Christmas tree, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and you tell them that this is not... No! It's very sad. You'd be surprised, brothers. You'd be surprised how many Muslims have Christmas trees in their homes. You'd be surprised how many Muslims let their children go out this past Halloween with a Batman costume on. You'd be surprised. No, seriously. It's sad. It's not funny. It's sad. This is really sad, brothers. If you go to a Muslim's home and they have a Christmas tree, and you tell them that this is not the right way from Allah and the Sunnah, and they say, I know, but I want my children to be free. But we are still Muslims. It's okay. What to do if I fear for the children? What can I do to help her? But I'm learning about Islam. Well, first of all, every situation has a specific nature. If you're a relative of that individual and you have a good rapport with them, then you should be as kind and respectful as you can. Don't be rude. Don't take the tree. You know, you read the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, change a munkar with your hand. If you see a munkar, change with your hand. So you go in the person's house and start ripping up the Christmas tree. No, don't do this. But if you have a good rapport with them, inshallah, you be kind and gentle. Talk to them. Explain to them. If they don't accept it and they say, well, they want their children to be free, you should just kindly tell them that if they'll be free in this life with this, they will be in shackles in the next life, maybe by your hand. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire. So how can you save yourselves and your family from the fire putting a tree that represents kufr? How can you do this? This is one of the most dangerous things that we can do, because our children are trust. وَكُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ. All of you and me, we are shepherds, and we're going to be held accountable for those sheep that are in our flock. So to have a Christmas tree, this emblem of kufr, which is zur, it's zur within itself, to have this in the house to affect your children, this is a very dangerous thing. And I would say that if they don't listen to you, then that you, the only thing you can do, I guess, is just make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't make those children go astray. And I would also suggest, and may seem kind of harsh, but I would also suggest that you don't let your children visit them. That you keep your children far away from them until they change their theme, until they change their conversation and their ways. Because you have to protect your children from the hellfire also. It says here, many times non-Muslims ask if they can read the Quran and tell them the Quran is... I tell them the Quran is the Muslim book from Allah, but one must wash their hands even to read it and be a Muslim. What to tell them? First of all, may Allah reward you and also forgive you and us. Ameen. This is a mistake, because the Quran is not the book of the Muslims. The Quran was sent down by Rabbul Alameen to all human beings. It is not the book of the Muslims, like some Muslims call the Muslims, they call the Quran the Bible of the Muslims. This is a blasphemy. This is a blasphemy.
to even think like this, let alone say it, that the Quran is the Bible of the Muslims. And when you're talking to the kuffar, like with them about Islam, and they say this, you are duty-bound to correct them immediately. No, 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 no. Our book is not the Bible for the Muslims. Our book is the final revelation to mankind, you and me, black and white, polka dot stripe, Arab and non-Arab. That's what the Quran is. You understand? Secondly, there is nothing that is explicitly authentic that says you have to wash before you read the Quran. Nothing. There's nothing explicit and authentic that says you have to wash any part of your body to read the Quran. You don't have to be in wudu to read the Quran. It's good to be in wudu all the time, as much as possible. And as for giving the Quran to the non-Muslims, some of the ulama say it's permissible. Some of the ulama say it's permissible. If they're going to respect it, they say, if you tell them how to respect it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But once again, we should not have this notion that the Quran is the Muslims' book. No, the Quran is for everyone. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I hope that inshallah you're going to shed some light about Muslim men giving da'wah to the kafir Muslims and vice versa. What are the rules and regulations regarding that?
You mean kafir women?
Kafir women. I'm sorry. What is that called?
No, he made a mistake. He said kafir Muslims.
Yeah.
Kafir Muslims.
Yeah, kafir.
That's women. Like saying halal pork. It's an oxymoron, they call it. I tell you, what I'm about to say, you're going to be shocked. I read something in this very beautiful magazine called Da'wah to La Ilaha Illallah, that's produced by the brothers in England, some sisters and brothers and sisters in England. I think it was either Al Ibana or one of the two magazines they have, where this question was asked by from Sheikh bin Baz. Is it permissible for women to give da'wah? What is their role in giving da'wah? And to men. And he says, it is a duty to give da'wah for the women. And if they give da'wah to the men, that they should observe the hijab, all the principles of hijab, all the principles of modesty and chastity. You see? This is what he says. Now, some of us may not agree with it. I'm only quoting what Sheikh bin Baz said. So does that mean that she should go out with the niyyah to give men da'wah? No. But if she's confronted, and she has her hijab properly, and she's covered properly, and she uses a voice that is not as seductive as she would with her husband, which unfortunately, things have changed today. The women and the men, they're seductive with the men on the streets, but they talk to their husbands with a very rough voice. This is very bad. No, she should switch it around. She should speak to her husband in a very nice, seductive voice, and she should speak to the men in a very short, monotone voice. And the da'wah that she should be giving is something like this. Here is a card to the Islamic Center of whatever city, whatever state, you can see Imam so-and-so. That's the da'wah, right there. She's not going to stand there and say, do you know the principles of Asma wa Sifat? And do you know? No. The da'wah that she gives that man is to direct him to the masjid. That's it. Because we had this notion when Sheikh bin Baz said that women can give da'wah, and they can stand there for 25 minutes in a subway by themselves on the subway platform, and she's giving da'wah to him. No. Tell him, here's the telephone number, or you can look in the directory under the Islamic Center or masjid such and such. You go there between the hours of 7 and 9, and you can hear all you want about Islam. Other than that, I don't want to be disrespectful, but Muslim women, we shouldn't be doing this, and I'll see you later. That's it. As for the men, I suggest that you direct them to a woman like your wife, or some woman that we know that is proficient in teaching Islam to non-Muslims. Like in the masjid where I moved from in New Jersey, where our brother Abu Muslima is the imam now, we've had in that masjid since its inception 13 years ago, an orientation class where the non-Muslims come between 11 in the morning on Sundays and 1 in the afternoon. It's specifically set up for non-Muslims. So the brother runs into one of these young ladies on the street. The most he's going to say is there's a class at between 11 and 1 at the Islamic Center of East Orange, New Jersey, 61 Lincoln Street, zip code 070. I'm giving a plug now. Okay. All right? He sends us to the masjid. That's it. Because if he doesn't, Shaitan is going to shoot some arrows. Wallahi, brothers. Shaitan is going to shoot some arrows into his chest. It's going to penetrate his heart worse than any AK-47. And he's going to start looking. And you know what that poem in Yusuf al-Qardawi's book goes, in the halal wa haram in Islam, that book lawful and prohibited in Islam, first a glance, then a smile, then a nod of the head, then a word, then a promise, then the warmth of a bed. You see? So we should try to stay as far away from those women as possible. Direct them to the masjid, to some sister who has the ability to tell them about Islam. You see? Especially you brothers who are vendors, who are merchants, out on the corner. You really have a big fitness. Big fitness. Send them to the masjid, brothers, to talk to the sisters who are in charge. And Allah knows best. My parents are kuffar, and then we come into yours, inshallah. My parents are kuffar, and accept me as a Muslim, but are uninterested about Islam for themselves. How should I approach them? You should approach them by just continuously practicing your Islam. Just keep practicing Islam. We have and I work for the Maryland Division of Corrections in one of the prisons. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get me out of that job. Say ameen. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get me out of that job. Say ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get me out of that job. Ameen. Thank you. I work for this prison. It's the oldest functioning prison in the United States of America. The oldest functioning prison in the United States of America. And one prison among those prisons in the state of Maryland is the Maryland House of Correction. By the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have a brother there who serves in a capacity like mine called the chaplain. Right? Or imam. Or Islamic coordinator. By the permission of Allah, and after Allah's permission and His grace and His mercy, then this brother's efforts, he has developed a program, an ongoing program for the past 3 or 4 years called Purification of the Soul. Subhanallah. Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah al-Azim. If you were to meet these brothers that are incarcerated in that prison, these are some of the best, and I've been working in corrections for on and off for about 11 years. These are some of the best Muslims I've ever met in my life. Some of the best Muslims I've ever met in my life. And they have an area in the prison called Little Mecca. Little Mecca. And the Muslim inmates who are dragging their feet and half-stepping, doing things that are bad on the side, they tell Muslims when they come into the prison, you don't want to go over there in D block or C block or whatever it is. You don't want to go to D block. That's Little Mecca. If you go over there, you have to practice Islam. A kafir, Michael Hood, I'll tell you his name, Michael Hood, correctional officer, accepted Islam from the actions of the Muslim inmates. He's a Muslim now, alhamdulillah. All he did was look at how they acted, seeing them praying, seeing them helping each other, seeing them defend Islam, seeing them be kind to people, and he accepted Islam. So if you keep practicing Islam, whoever this question came from, we're not saying cease in your speech, but just practice what you know. Believe me, if Allah has decreed it, and it's written in Lawh Mahfuz, they will become Muslims, inshallah ta'ala. They will become Muslims, just from your actions.
Mine is very short. I was thinking that, there's so many Orientalist point of view, and we're not supposed to seek them if anybody didn't know or something. we're supposed to seek the authentic knowledge. So that's not available in a sectarian school. So,
is this a comment or? Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you for your comment, and may Allah make us benefit from it. Ameen.
Brother, you said that in doing dawah, you should be kind and
respectful.
Respectful.
Yes.
And you shouldn't let the kuffar be the driver, because they're going to drive you straight to hellfire. I'm from a country that says it's a Christian nation, right? The Bahamas. Okay, and you know, you go there, whoever it is, to do dawah. They do all they can to talk the Bible, you know, Jesus, the Son of God, and all this other stuff. You know, it gets to the point where, you know, you just want to turn and walk away. I listened to your lecture, it's a great lecture, but for me, if you can please just add a little more to just keep me there and keep doing the work that I'm trying to do. You know, because one instance, the lady said, I know about God, you know, I know he's one creator, but, you know, I was raised that Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe in all this stuff, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Actually, she believed in four gods, because she believed in Allah, and the other three, that's four. But just please add something for me to just, you know, stay there and you know, just continue the work that, you know, I have to do.
Well, we know, Allah yubarak fikum, may Allah bless you. We know that part of the da'wah is having sabr. We have to be patient. We have to be patient when we're inviting the people to Islam. And we should not be grieved, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Don't kill yourself, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in grief over them not listening to this recitation, to this narration. Don't kill yourself. Allah had to remind the Prophet, don't kill yourself. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You cannot guide whom you love. You just give the message. That's it. All you can do is give the message and be patient and persevering in giving the message. And Allah will guide them. We have to remember that we are not al-hadi. We're not the guide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the guide. All we're doing is assuming one of the aspects of the jobs of the prophets and messengers is to invite the people to Islam. That's it. We're bashir wa nazir, a bringer of glad tidings and a warner. That's it. Just be patient. The question was here, how do you give dawah to the Muslims? You give dawah to the Muslims by inviting them to come back to Islam. What do we mean by that, if they're already Muslims? We invite them to come back to the reality of Islam. See, because the reality of Islam is the authenticated sunnah on the understanding of our rightly guided predecessors. Because many people have come to Islam. They're Muslims. But not many people have come into the sunnah. And this is why Sheikh Ali Hassan, who's with us today, alhamdulillah, he said we should not just say, alhamdulillah alladhi hadana ila al-Islam. Praise be to Allah who guided us to Islam. But rather what we should say is, alhamdulillah alladhi hadana ila al-Islam wa sunnah. Praise be to Allah who guided us to Islam and the Sunnah. Because there's a lot of people in Islam, but very few people are in the Sunnah. So we have to invite people to return to the real Islam. Islam in its totality. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dukhulu fis silmi kaffah. O you who believe, enter into Islam in its entirety. Taking all of the book and all of the Sunnah, as demonstrated by the Prophet and his companions, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is, in a nutshell, what we mean by inviting or giving dawah to the Muslims. What are the best tafsirs in the English language? The best tafsirs in the English language are the ones that have been translated from the Arabic language. That's the best tafsir you can get. The best tafsir you can get is tafsir al-Tabari translated. Tafsir Ibn Kathir translated. Tafsir Fath al-Qadir Imam al-Shawkani translated. Tafsir al-Baghawi translated with the hadith checked. With the hadith authenticated. If we don't have that, then you have to go to somebody who knows. Don't rely on Yusuf Ali. Don't rely on anybody. Rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah. I'll say it again. The best tafsir in English are those books I mentioned translated. Oh yes.
We know from the ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَتَسِمُوا بِهَبْدِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تُفَرَّقُوا. Hold on to the commandments or the rope of Allah, Quran and Sunnah collectively, and don't be divided. What is some of the advices that we can give to our wives to give to the sisters that every time we come to these lectures and these classes, there's division, there's a group for the sisters that don't wear niqab, and there's a group that the sisters that have niqab, and because I wear niqab or, you know, they wear niqab, we sit on this special circle and the other one sit in that one, to the effect that some of the sisters is real affected and they come home crying, things of this nature.
If those Muslims who, because they're wearing niqab or because they're wearing jilbab or hijab and some of the other things that are required at least or obligatory at most, think that they're better, then I would suggest, like I suggest to the brothers who have their thawbs and their pants above their ankles who may think they're better than the brothers who are not, I would suggest that they read Surah Al-Hujurat. The Surah Al-Hujurat, I believe it's the 48th or 49th chapter of the Quran. They should read it in its entirety. And inshallah, this will help that illness. Inshallah. And that's my answer.
We have established a dawah program in our masjid, and I wanted to know from you, what do you think the best way to deal with men and women coming together, non-Muslims coming to the mosque for these dawah programs? We have been separating them, and it seems to be causing a little bit of confusion among them. What do you think is the best approach to when they enter the mosque and where they
go? I think we should speak to one of the mashayikh, one of the sheikhs who are here about this, inshallah. The last question, I have a question concerning internet dawah. Is it okay if someone says, I have a question of Islam, please write to me, and it may be a man, can a woman, or maybe a man, I think they meant, or a woman, or can a woman write of Islam and give dawah? If it is a woman, can a man write to her of only Islam? Is this permissible since it can be posted for all to see on internet news groups? It's haram if it is private email. May Allah reward you with Jannah. Ameen, and you also. Ameen. Unfortunately, I've heard of internet. Unfortunately, I'm a computer illiterate. I don't know. I just found out just a few months ago what a mouse was. No, lying is haram. Even when you're joking, you know that, right? You know lying is haram, right? I'm serious. I just found out just about 10 months ago what a mouse was. I don't know that much about computers, so I've been hearing a lot about internet. I would say that the same principles that we use for the male and female sexes coming together with each other in general should be applied to internet. Same thing. Because we may think that it's a harmless thing. But I know a brother right now and a sister living in Detroit who got married from internet. Maybe you understand what I mean. They had never seen each other before and they started communicating on internet. And they're married right now. Alright? So we should be very, very careful. Because internet may get you in the net of hell. Really. We have to be very careful. Be very, very careful. As far as men giving women dawah and women giving men dawah on internet or otherwise, we should go back to those basic principles. Send them to somebody else. You know, here's so-and-so's number, internet, whatever it is. Do you have them? I don't know. Letters or numbers? I don't know. Here's so-and-so's number. Get in contact with them. And Allah knows best.